We began the study of Galatians last time we got together. We got all the way through verse 4. And I'd like to start with verse 5 since that makes sense. But let me read to you verses 3 and 4 so you can understand what's being talked about. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When you begin to focus, to turn your heart onto what God has accomplished, what God has done, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what naturally happens is praise. Paul is, at the beginning of his letter, he's saying, look what Jesus has done. He gave himself for our sins. Look what he's done for us. And what's the response? To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He could have ended his letter right there. He breaks out and starts to praise God. Now on Sunday mornings, I'd love to do more music. Right now we can't do it. We don't have that kind of time. I'd love to. But the truth is, it doesn't take long amounts of times of music for you to worship God. You see, and it also doesn't take your favorite hymn or your favorite song. You know, sometimes you'll come to church and say, I don't really like that song. Tough. Sing it anyway. You don't even have to like the melody. You see, this is a heart situation. You see, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to God. What it does is it gets our hearts and our minds and our eyes and everything back on God. Off of the argument we had in the car. Not you guys, other Christians do that sometimes. And off of the policeman that pulled you over to offer you that ticket. Get your mind back on what's really important. You know, things are bad. People are sick. People are hurting. Things are awful. And you can't ignore it. And we want to remember to pray and do the things that we can. But we got to praise God. We've got to keep our hearts and our minds on the job that's at hand. And Paul says, speaking of God the Father, God the Son, to whom be glory forever and ever. We praise God. And then he goes on. Now you may have not noticed it, but to notice it, here's what you have to do. Go read through Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Go read through some of the other letters that Paul wrote, and you're going to notice that the first four verses are rather cool. Now, I don't mean groovy. I mean they are a little more cool. His attitude is a little bit more cool toward these people than what you're used to. Oh, he loves them. But you can tell he's got something on his heart here. And now all of a sudden he gets hot real fast. You go and read Philippians. You'll notice a different kind of greeting. Philippi is a church of the Galatians. And you'll notice a real warm greeting. This one's kind of cool. He's got something on his mind. Something's up. Something seems to be off. And right away he gets hot under the collar almost when he says this. I have no idea. These notes are out of order, so I'm going to make this up. Oh, Lord, take me now. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Right away, he hits them with the reason he's writing. I marvel. What does that mean? I don't know. It means, literally, I am astonished. I'm amazed. I'm shocked. See, the Galatians were in the process right now of turning away from the pure gospel. They're starting to drift on to this Judaized form of the gospel, which, by the way, is not new to you and I. We hear it quite often. The gospel is, we're losing it. We're losing the gospel. And we'll talk about in just a moment or two how you and I should be defending the faith and the gospel that we have been called to preach through the whole world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We're losing it. And Paul says, you're losing it. You're starting. I am amazed that you so quickly are drifting off from the true gospel unto what he says is, the gospel. You're removed from that and called. Let me read the verse altogether. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not really another, because there is no other, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's excited. He's a little hot now under the collar, saying, I can't believe you guys. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. You know that when Paul would come in, he would preach the gospel. People would become saved. Now, Paul would have to get out of town. Either they'd try to kill him or they'd run him out of town. You know, he was always driven to go further. Know what I mean? He was. Yeah, because he couldn't stay in one place very long. If he came to this town, he'd be arrested probably within 2 to 3 days and be driven out or something. I mean, that's how Paul was. He had that ability. But people came behind him, Jews, Judaizers. They would come behind him and they would say something like this. Oh, it's neat to see you get together. You're obviously believers, are you? Yes, we are. Well, has Paul been here? Yeah, he left about a month ago. And man, he preached the gospel and it was kind of neat. We believe and we've been gathering together now every Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We break bread from house to house. We're staying in the Word and we're fellowshipping together. We're having a great time. And the Judaizers go, that is cool, man. We're happy for you. But, now remember, goats go but, sheep go baa, baa. Right? But you know that Paul, and don't get me wrong, I'm not judging him. He's a nice guy, but he's really not telling you the whole story. You know, you got to believe in Jesus, of course. I mean, none of us can deny. I mean, when this letter was written, so many witnesses had seen Jesus alive that nobody's going to deny that he hasn't risen from the dead. They say, we're not denying that he rose from the dead. We believe, we're believers too. Now, but you guys, you got to be circumcised. You have to. Women, you can't wear pants. You didn't know that? And you have to, you can't wear makeup. And you guys, you can't have any facial hair, except you got to grow your sideburns really long and that they hang down. I mean, other than that, didn't you know that? Well, Paul never said, well, we know. That's why we're here. We wanted to finish the job. Paul, he's a nice guy, but he just hasn't told you quite like it is. And Paul writes a letter and says, hang on, hold it. I'm amazed that you are being pulled off of it so quickly. You see the three words you've remembered? It is grace. I don't think we understand what grace really is. And Paul says, hold it, hold it, hold it here. Hold it. You've been removed. You're so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which really isn't another gospel at all, but some trouble you. To trouble them, the language means they're throwing you into confusion. How many times has that happened to you? You say, I'm a Christian. And people go, you are? Well, yeah. How long have you been saved, fool? 6 years. You speak in tongues? No? Oh, you're going to hell. Really? Oh, yeah. Now, of course, if you go to the other side, they say, you speak in tongues? You go, yeah. They go, ooh, you're going to hell. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you're not saved. Why? Because you speak in tongues. Whoa, dude. Well, you're not saved. Why? Well, because you don't speak in tongues. Man, I am damned if I do and damned if I don't. Damned means accursed. We're going to use that word in a moment. We're in trouble. You see, they want to add to, they want to pervert the gospel. They're troubling you. And I know some of you have been troubled. You saved? Yeah. And you dress that way? Yeah. Can't you? No, women can't wear those. Men can't wear those. And of course, they start giving the rules. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't date girls that do. You know, you got all these rules. Right? And Paul says, I can't believe you guys. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. Drawn to another gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says this. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What does that mean, according to the Scriptures? Christ, Messiah, must be, has to be, God Almighty. If he's not God Almighty, he didn't die according to the Scriptures. So according to the Scriptures, God has to come down in human flesh, born of a virgin, and he must die for the sins of the world. And he has to physically be dead, and he has to then rise again physically according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you've got any other Jesus that you're worshiping, you are worshiping the wrong one. It is another gospel, which is not another gospel at all. Someone has taken you off the real gospel. So the next time someone says to you that God, Elohim, Adam God, Adam, you know who Adam was? Yeah, the first human God ever created. Now, there's a doctrine that we learn from the Mormons that says Adam God came down and had sex with Mary, and that's where Jesus came from. You look and you say, no, wait a minute. You are perverting the gospel. Yeah, I did say the Mormons out loud in church. And that's not the gospel. It's not the truth. If you're not careful, you can be turned, be troubled. It'll throw you into confusion. See, because Jesus Christ, the living God, died and rose again, life is freely given to anyone who will then believe. Freely given. What's the question that people ask? What must I do to be saved? What do I got to do? Tell me what I have to do. Now, Paul and Silas, they're in prison. It's about midnight. They've been beaten. They're in pain. They can't sleep. They're in the stocks, in the dungeon. So they start to sing praises. While they're singing praises, remember, God sends an earthquake. All the doors in the entire prison open. The chains fall off everybody. The stocks are broken, so they're no longer locked up. And the Philippian jailer, that's in Philippi, and the Philippian jailer, thinking that all his prisoners have escaped, remember, if you lose a prisoner, you have to be put to death, he starts to kill himself. He's going to commit suicide, thinking, I've got to kill myself because all these prisoners are gone. I'm responsible for them. Before he kills himself, the Apostle Paul yells out, don't do harm to yourself. We're here. We're all doing fine. He brings in a light. He grabs Paul and Silas, brings them out. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said to him, go get cleaned up. Change your language. Go get circumcised. Make your wife quit wearing those blue jeans. And get that makeup off that woman. And put a cover on her head. And you yourself, you got to clean up your... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was reading the Revised Standard Perversion. That's not the one you have, is it? Excuse me, I got carried away. Wait, what does the Bible say? He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And your house can believe too. What have I got to do? Believe. John chapter 3, verse 16. The second most memorized scripture in all the Bible. The first most memorized is John 11:35. Jesus wept. The second one that's most memorized is John chapter 3, verse 16, but also memorize 17 with it. Let's read them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to save people. You see, that's why we use the word gospel. It literally in our language means good news. It's not good news when you come to me and say, you're a loser, you're a fake, you're a phony, and there's no hope for you, and God hates you, by the way. I go, thanks for the good news. Makes me feel great. Love you, too. Really draws me close to you. I feel a real bond. And that's what Christians are doing to others. When you drive down some of the streets in Coeur d'Alene, and when you drive down the heart of Spokane and you see these bizarre people pierced all over the place and tattooed and can't stand up straight. When you see them, what do you see? Do you see someone who you think, oh man, look at that? Or do you go, Jesus loves that one. Maybe I better tell him. Jesus loves you. There's good news. You can come to the Lord. Do I have to unpierce? No, I think you'd fall apart if you unpierced. Just, yeah, I think that's the only thing holding you together, man. So you come to Jesus. Well, you probably couldn't talk to him that way, but I can. It's just, people just let me get away with that. John 6:28. Then said they unto him, the people, they say, we want to be Christians. We want to follow you. We really think you're the Messiah, and that's what we want to do. What do we got to do? They said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus, they asked God himself, what do we do that we could be doing what God wants us to do? We want to work the works of God. What do we got to do? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. What? That you believe on him whom God has sent. What did Jesus just tell him? All right, Jesus, I want to be a Christian. I want to walk with you. I want to be right. What do I got to do? Jesus looks and says, here's what you got to do. Believe in me. You say, that's all? Yeah. You know, now remember when we were young, how tough it was for us. We walked to school uphill both ways in the snow barefooted. You remember that? We ate dirt. And we always know how easy it is for everybody today, don't we? Oh yeah. Yeah. You see, when I was in school, you had to learn the ABCs. You had to know them before you were two. Nowadays, you got to know them to graduate high school. Matter of fact, you have to know most of them to graduate high school. Didn't we have it tough? I mean, man, I grew up in a time when men were iron and ships were wooden. Just think. And we really think that about ourselves. And so when we see it easy for someone else, we don't like it. I don't like that. I mean, that guy got saved, that girl got saved. You got to be kidding, man. How did they get in? What, was God tired that day? What? You forgot how you got in. We've forgotten how we got in. It is grace. Just as I am. What did the little girl say? She didn't understand the words. Just as I am, without one flea. He takes you just like you are. Now, I don't think that at all that he will expect you to stay that way. Our problem is we want to clean the fish before we catch them. Now, have you ever tried that? Head on out to your favorite fishing spot, jump in the water, and try to clean them things first. Before we put them in our boat, we're going to get them cleaned up. Go for it, Bob. We'll watch. That's hard. You try that. Before you catch them, try and clean them. That's what you want to do. That's a lot of people. Christians want others to be miserable too. So, all right. Yeah, can I come to your church? Yeah, but you know, you can't wear that. Really? When you can't have any of those, and oh man, when you come to our church, please do something else with your head. What is the impression they're getting? I'm not welcome in your church. I'm not welcome near God. I got to clean up first. I got to straighten out first. Is that the gospel? No, that's perverted. That's twisting. That's confusing people. And that's why more people aren't coming to Jesus Christ today, I think. Because the gospel's not being presented. We're trying to clean it up, make everybody look nice. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. And that's what Paul's saying. To pervert the gospel, the word to pervert it means to distort it or to change it around or even to literally go beyond its borders. You know, and again, we can use the Mormons as a great example because they even promote the fact that they have the further revelation of Jesus Christ. And they say they've got the Book of Mormon. Hold it right there. You've gone beyond the gospel itself. Beyond the gospel itself. There is no further revelation. God has told you everything you need to know. The gospel is so simple and so plain that you can tell it to a two-year-old, and a two-year-old will say, if they're able to think, or a three-year-old, and they'll say, I want Jesus. How many times have you noticed you could give an altar call and children would be the first ones to respond? And we think, isn't that cute? Isn't that touching? You know why that is? Because it is so clear to them.
If you don't tell a child they can't do this puzzle, a lot of times they'll sit down and do it. Give it to an adult. Children do it faster than adults. Why? Because children don't know they can't do it. That we grow up learning we can't. See, it takes childlike faith. And we're not hearing the truth any longer. 1 Peter 1:18-21. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, the law, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Where is your faith and your hope? Are you hoping that you're being good enough? Do you know how many Christians struggle because they're afraid God doesn't love them? Because somehow they've been lured off. Paul says, I'm so amazed how you've been lured away from the solid gospel. Do you know how many Christians are really working hard trying to get God to notice them? And the Bible says God loves you and he's got his eye on you. He is looking at you. He is noticing you. He loves you. Somehow you've come to believe that he doesn't. Now remember, we had it tough when we were young. We want others to have it tough too. That's not the gospel. How I got saved was by grace. All I said was yes to Jesus Christ. It's no magic formula. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'll tell you right now, if I said I accepted Jesus into my life, and then people say, were you saved? Yeah, as soon as I got baptized. What did I just say? Jesus plus baptism. Is that the gospel? Then the thief on the cross couldn't go to heaven, could he? Yeah, I got saved. Matter of fact, I accepted the Lord and I helped people cross the street. I was really kind to them. What am I saying? Believe in Jesus plus do good things. Is that the gospel? Sounds nice. And certainly we should do those good works, but only help people cross the street if they want to cross. That is an important thing you ought to know. Because boy, they get tough on you. Come on, lady, you're going. I don't want to. And then they start swinging those canes and it's ugly. Just joking. You don't do that, do you? Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You have done nothing to secure your salvation, neither have I. And I can do nothing to secure my salvation. I can't. I cannot do it. And what Christians are afraid of is, if we say that message, you're going to have the whole church running out and just living any way they want and doing anything they want. Let's make sure they're under some kind of rules. Wait a minute. We learn that when Jesus Christ is in your life, when the Spirit of the Lord is running your life, there is no law for that. In other words, you don't need to tell someone who loves the Lord, don't murder. You don't even need to tell them that. You don't need to tell them, don't steal. It's in their life, the fruit of the Spirit, love, which consists of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. Remember, self-control. No, when the Spirit of God takes up residence in your life, you will see a change in your life, a change in you. Oh, it's not much of it may not happen overnight. I mean, it may take a while, 40, 50, 90, 1,000 years, I know. But you're going to see changes. And it is by grace. Romans 6:23. Very easy to understand. For the wages, that's what you earn, of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. It is a gift. Now, when someone comes to you and says, I was down the other day and I saw this and man, I thought of you and I wanted to get this. I want to give this to you. What do you do? You say, all right, how much? No, I wanted to give you this. What do you want? Well, come on, what I got to do, just take it or don't. It's a gift. You say to your little ones, all right, you can play in this area. Now, if you go in this direction, you will suffer and you will die. But if you go in this direction, you'll find the swing set and that thing's fun. What do they got to do? They've got a choice now to make, don't they? I don't believe in swing sets. I'm going that way. There's no swing set. He's lying. My dad doesn't love us at all. We'll get over there and find some swing set. He'll be laughing at us behind our backs. I'm going this way. Well, that's the choice you can make, isn't it? But you always love your children and you show them which way to walk to where it's safe and good for them, don't you? What did God say? He says a bunch of you are walking on Broadway. Isn't that what the Bible says? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Broadway. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life and few there be that find it. You got a simple choice to make. It is a gift. It is a free gift. Now notice this. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. To be accursed means to be damned or to be eternally condemned. If anybody preaches any other gospel than what has already been preached, then let that one be eternally condemned. There are a lot of other gospels out there that are not right, that are not real, that are holding people in bondage. Someone asked me about a church this morning. I said, yeah, I've heard about that church. They won't allow musical instruments. Girls can't wear dresses. They can't wear pants. I gave them this big list. I said, is that what you're talking about? He goes, yeah, that's it. That's them. They walk around looking like lemon tasters. Yep. And they tell you that you can't be saved unless you belong to their church, don't they? Yeah, that's what they told me. So it's not true. None of that's true. The truth is, you can have Jesus Christ by simply saying, I believe, I want Jesus Christ in my heart. It's a free gift. Now, what if an angel shows up in your room at 3 in the morning, wakes you up, yo, Bob, what? I'm here. My name is Moroni. I want to talk to you. I'm going to show you about some golden plates. Now, you can't dig them up for 4 years. Go dig them up there in New York. You're going to dig them up and you're going to interpret them. And they're going to show you Jesus Christ and Lucifer are spirit brothers. And that there was this council held on the planet Kolob. And in that council, Elohim, Adam God, a couple of his sons, the spirit brothers, Lucifer and Satan, they got into an argument because, see, Lucifer, who really doesn't like people anyway, you're going to create your own bunch of people here. Lucifer said, let's make them all worship us and follow us. Us, hear that? And Jesus said, that's not right. That's not the way to do it because Jesus is a nice guy. And he said, no, let's give them a choice. Satan says, no way, that's not how you do it. Let's force them to. They took a vote. Satan lost. They took a vote. And Satan lost. Sound like the gospel to you? Sound anything like the gospel? The Bible clearly teaches Jesus Christ is God the Son. He wasn't a spirit brother with anybody. He is God's only begotten Son. And He has always existed. He does exist now and He always will exist. And He didn't come from a planet, Kolob or any other planet that you've been taught. The truth is, He came straight from the throne room that is heaven, which is a spiritual realm having nothing to do with the physical realm at that point, in that sense. That's the truth. Now, there's another course. I got to hurry. Called A Course in Miracles. If you are a New Ager, or maybe you were at one time, or maybe you know some New Age friends, A Course in Miracles. Maybe you've heard about it. It's got 365 lessons, and there are 365 days in the year normally. And so you can see it's kind of a daily devotional, a lesson a day. And where did it come from? It came from the Spirit Jesus, who says he's the Son of God. Now, the two people that trans-channeled, one trans-channeled, one was the scribe and wrote it down. Both of them were atheists, so they don't believe in God. Well, Jesus is channeled through one of them, and the other one writes down what Jesus has to say. He says, I am the Son of God, I am not God, and I am not the only Son. You are sons of God, too, and daughters of God. And he says, there's no such thing as sin, and so therefore, I never died for your sins, because if there are no sins, there's nothing to die for. People just misunderstood me, and I never said I was God in the first place. Are you having problems with that so far? A little bit? Yeah, why not? There is no hell. Why? Well, there's no such thing as sin. So nobody's bad, so you got to send nobody anywhere. Everything's fine. Kind of interesting, huh? Does that kind of go against the gospel that we just looked at? You know, the Bible says that if anybody preaches any other gospel than that simple gospel, that person should be eternally condemned or damned. We are Christians, those of us that are Christians, we are called to preach the gospel. That's what our lives are all about. That's what our money goes to. That's what our time and our talent, our energies, that's what we're all about. That's our calling. Preach the gospel to every living creature. All through the whole world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what we're busy doing, and we shouldn't be busy doing anything else but preaching the gospel. That's our call. And the gospel is that God, the Son, the living God, came in human flesh to this earth, that he died on the cross at Calvary, according to the scriptures, that he was physically dead, that he was buried, and then on the third day, he physically rose from the dead, just as the scriptures promised, physically rose. Jehovah's Witnesses say he spiritually rose, and they say he was not God, and they also say, bottom line, if you study their scriptures or their theology to the end, you find out he's not Jesus Christ at all, really. He's Michael the Archangel. The gospel is destroyed. You are taking away from Jesus. You are taking, now you think about, God so loved his Son, but he so loved you that he sent his Son. Now I'm telling you, God loves his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you continue to take away from what Jesus Christ did, I don't think God's going to take it sitting down. I think you're going to see the anger poured out on this world. God will take vengeance on all who have rejected his Son. That was an expensive gift that God sent to us, and many people are rejecting that gift. And I don't think God is simply going to sit and say, well, they found a pretty nice way, though, and they look nice. I mean, their hair's nice. I don't think you're going to hear that from God. I think that the offer is this. Freely, you can have life in Jesus Christ. What's your choice? In the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4, there's only one chapter, verses 3 and 4. Jude was going to write to us about our salvation. He said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of our common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot deny Jesus Christ. He must be God. And he must be fully God in human flesh, because that's what the Word says. Anything that takes away from that is another gospel, and anybody preaching that must be condemned. The gospel is what you and I should be sharing with the world. I think if the world could hear the gospel, you'd see more people saved. I am convinced if people could see Jesus, that they would want to draw near to him. But if you hold up signs and say, God hates your guts, it's just hard then to relate to them. And also, that's not what the good news is. That's why we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and go over it. And I know the fear of Christians is, well, wait a minute, you're going to get a whole church full of people who are just absolutely bizarre. They don't care about anything. They're just going to go, I'm saved. Wait a minute. God cleaned the fish. He'll do it. He has taken my life, and I'm not there yet. I got a long way to go, but I have changed over the last years from what I used to be. There are men and women in this room. You want to talk to them, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, I've changed. You see, there was a time in my life that I would much rather hit somebody than talk to them about anything. And you say, you're not so big. Oh, no. No, it's not height, it's heart. And when you got a stinking, rotten, lousy attitude and you don't care about nothing and nobody, you don't care how you hurt or what you use. When I was young, I remember hitting a big weightlifting guy because he was so big. He said he was going to hurt me. I remember taking a folding chair and taking every bit of my strength and hitting him across the face with it. I'm proud of myself for doing that. I remember that and thinking, I hope he dies. You could see I had a little bit of an anger problem. And I still sometimes get angry. Not very much anymore. Not real often. Sometimes I get frustrated, but I don't get real angry. I'm glad I don't. Some of you tell me the same thing. Oh, I had such a lousy, rotten heart. I didn't care about anything or anybody. But God is slowly changing my heart. God will clean the fish. He'll take them. And he'll make them. He is the potter, we're the clay. He'll mold you and he'll make you. When a real heart is given to him, or when a heart is given to him, he makes it real. So you don't have to be afraid that you're preaching the gospel. You don't have to be afraid of what's going to come in. I remember Pastor Chuck simply preaching the gospel. And I mean, people came in and they didn't wear shoes even. And they were called hippies back then. And they came and they would sit on the floor. And the floor would be stained when they left from their feet and their bodies and things. I remember some of the leaders of the church wanted to make those people put shoes on because they were bringing in hot asphalt from the streets and it was staining the carpet forever. And Pastor Chuck said, no, I want them to come in. And if you're afraid it'll ruin the carpet, then let's just tear the carpet out and have bare floor. You see, the good news is Jesus loves you just the way you are, just exactly as you are now. He loves you. You come to him. It's a free gift to ask Jesus into your life. And he will work in your heart and he will change your life. Share the gospel with others. Don't be afraid. And don't be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is the power of God to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Share the gospel. It's good news. Tell people that Jesus does love them and that grace is there. They can have eternal life now. Let's bow our heads.